Hey guys, we are finally back after a long hiatus, and this is our yearly roundup of our favorite stuff from the year 2016. I say it in the episode, but really this is my favorite episode we do all year. It went a little long, so we're going to chop it up into two parts. So you're going to hear about the first half of it, and then stick around, and part two should be coming out soon.
From Akron, Ohio.
From Akron, Ohio. This is the 2016 year-end review episode of On the Tropes.
What number? What number?
I don't know.
Okay.
2016. on this week's episode, we're going to give out our tropies, the year-end awards, and that's pretty much it. It's going to take a while. So, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by...
Sir.
Femo.
And Kyle.
It's been a while since we've been in the studio, so let's do a little brief catching up. Sir. What's been new, like, the last couple months? Because that's probably the last time we recorded.
A couple months.
Maybe 3 months.
Yeah, I haven't been here in a while.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, I feel like I've been, like, come back from, like, war or something, or, like, really more just, like...
You're grizzled now.
Oh, yeah, a long hiatus, putting on weight. and attempting to put on weight. So, no, it's been a pretty good, like, past couple months. I think, you know, after the election, like, that was just a big... sigh of wow, a lot of work, and like, you know, there was some letdown to process. However, I did a lot of organizing, so that was just like a really hectic time and just a really wild time period. Right after, you know, all that stuff though, we had the holidays, picked up some new games, some new movies.
Nice.
Actually, so I've been gaming for the past like month. I've just been like straight.
What are you playing?
Yeah, Far Cry Primal.
Nice.
I feel like it completely.
That game is super good.
Oh, yeah.
It's super violent too.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, this will be like kind of a teaching thing too. I can turn it on with my kid and they can
show them how to beat animals with sticks.
Yeah, and like, you know, the first NPC is just a woman with like human ears around her neck. That's like,
yeah,
in warfare against another tribe. So it's really cool though, because it's like. The game dynamic is so changed by not having like firearms.
Yeah,
it's like there's no running.
You have to
guns
build everything that you use, yeah, as a weapon.
It's pretty cool. So yeah. I've been gaming a lot, catching up on movies, working on this theater. That's been fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Nightlight.
That's
we
awesome.
Can plug
yeah.
it. We have some
yeah.
Acronyms.
Yeah, we'll definitely plug the Nightlight. More coming up. Themo, what have you had going on? I haven't seen you. I feel like
yeah
you've been holding it down.
I've been over in Barberton. Have not tried any of the Barberton, Ohio,
the fried chicken
is known for their fried chicken. I've not tried it yet. I'm trying to not try it because my
resist
because I like not having chest pain when I walk places. So I'm trying to avoid the fried chicken desperately.
I don't know that I've ever had the Barberton fried chicken.
Wow, you made it this long.
I don't think so.
Is it just called Barberton Fried Chicken?
No,
or is it
no
there are
like several.
It's like White House Chicken. And then
is Hoppican Gardens?
It's, I mean,
yeah,
it's like...
Hoppican Gardens. Hoppican, yeah,
whatever.
It's pretty complicated, though, because like, there's buyouts, and then people go bankrupt, and then they come back. But it's like Game of Thrones, the different geopolitical things that are happening regarding the fried chicken there. So it's...
Mm.
It's like a Serbian like family and recipe or something like that, right?
Is that what
I
it is?
On Wikipedia,
I don't know.
Where, like, White House Chicken has like... There's like another kind of food they make in Europe that family makes that just happens to be exactly like our fried chicken recipes. So they
That's
just
funny.
Like totally fit in.
Egg. That's the closest I was. I don't know if you guys saw me trying to do the math in my head to come up with a chicken Game of Thrones pun. You know, all I could think was the one old man going, egg, when he was dying.
What? I don't know that one.
The guy from The Wall. The maester. Egg.
Man.
Wow, that's a deep cut.
Yeah,
that is
that
a
one.
Deep cut.
It's because Game of Thrones is out of season. That's
yeah.
All. That's
it's not Game of Thrones right. season. It's
yeah. Westworld season.
Westworld season.
Yeah, Westworld is trying
White
to.
White House is coming. Would have been
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
White House is coming.
Kyle.
White House is coming.
Yeah.
What's new with you? Anything interesting?
No. Not really.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, Everything has changed.
How did that like get me?
Everything has changed.
How did that get me?
No,
Sir's crying is what he means.
Oh, I guess. I mean, mid November, I became an uncle, and
that was because of me.
Yeah, and then approximately 5 days later, I became a father.
Literally 5 days later.
That is, so crazy. There's a little girl not running around yet in my house, but she's not too far away from doing that. No, she's perfect. And as Lisa likes to say all the time, our life will never be the same. And it's like we're still kind of getting used to that. But yeah, it's a miracle of life. It's crazy.
It's been probably
the most stressful night of my life, but luckily it went by quicker.
Your night was a stressful night of your life.
It was
33 hours.
I know, and your stress. Your night of 33 hours.
It started at midnight,
we were like, oh, we've got time, and then no, we didn't have time. It was like 8 hours, six, seven, 8 hours, and then it was done.
I hear her squawking. You didn't hear that? I heard.
I gotta
just,
go.
I heard just alone.
Am I lactating? No, I'm good.
Yeah, ours was 33 hours. It was rough.
But what's new with you?
Yeah, same thing.
Broseph. Same thing, but in reverse.
Yep, pretty much reverse order. Had a wee one, and then 5 days later became an uncle. It's been good times. That was preceded by probably one of the worst thing that's happened recently.
And then knowing that
us making America great again.
Anyway. Our girls are growing up in the heart of that shitstorm.
Trump land.
Yeah, that was surreal to realize that my daughter will be 14 by the time this dude gets out of office. It's like, wow.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it doesn't last
more. Your daughter might be 10 and a half by the time.
Oh, are you guys that optimistic?
I'm that hopeful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm that hopeful.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. Like,
well, if you're not,
I'm
that
just completely hopeful he won't run again. I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you're not that hopeful, then how come you're not saying 18?
I feel like there's no way he could run again. But I don't. Who knows? I mean,
oh, he'll run again for sure. If he makes it through, he'll run again.
I think he'll be too tired. He's already tired.
He's too thin skinned. It's like he signed on thinking that all it would be praise, not realizing that
there's actual work to do.
Actual work, or that people might not love him.
Yeah, but if
I'm not sure. I think I don't know if he thought it would be all praise. I think he thought it would be easy to shout people down.
People can like trick him into running again though, and just be like, oh, he knows he won't get elected. He knows that he did such a terrible job the first time that he wouldn't get reelected.
Yeah, like, I can see that. I think that's the best angle for that, because I feel like that's so much of what happened. Like, this is like this certain segment of these fringe Republican groups have found a guy that's the perfect narcissistic dictator figurehead that they can come out of the shadows.
We'll put a pin in this.
I want to come back to what you just said.
I feel like it's about
we said
it's,
certain. Because we keep calling them all, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to break them down into five factions of the Republican Party. Like, I'm going in.
I don't know about the entire... I mean, but when we talk about alt-righters, like, why aren't we calling... Like, why aren't we calling a pig and saying, you know, Nazis...
I've been trying to do this since 2014, Themo.
Like, well, that's my point. I mean, like, that's... Maybe,
a little on the nose, the pig thing. I mean...
why isn't the media doing that? The alt-righters are extending their right arms and saying Zeke Heil, Trump.
They're not going to.
But they're
alt-righters.
Come
on, the media. Our media is not going to confront
them. Pin.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll get to this. You guys.
It's going to be a fun one.
This is. Yeah. We were saying just before we hit the button to record. This is my favorite episode that we do every year. The year-end review, 2016. People had some gripes with 2016. It started with Bowie. It ended with Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds in a 1-2 punch of horribleness. Yeah. There was some Trump along the way. There was some Alan Rickman
Trump
along
died?
The way.
Oh.
No, him not dying is the only...
No.
But
JK, NSA, prank call.
No, not what I meant. Not where I was going. I was going to say...
Down through a tunnel.
His is the only tragedy that's not... celebrity death related.
Gotcha.
Muhammad Ali.
Indians
not winning.
Prince.
Prince.
I would say Brexit. I would think.
Oh yeah, Brexit too.
Oh wow, we have a great nightlight quote. We have like a list of nightlight guest quotes. This British guy came in and was talking about Brexit after the Trump election, and he was talking about how he voted for Brexit. It was wild.
It's true. He called himself Mr. Anyways.
It was wild. It was, you know, we just have a certain, a different kind of ethos than the other, than some of those Southern European countries.
Oh.
Like, you know, we like to, you know, stand in line and.
I wish I would have been there to be like.
Go in order.
You want to. Oh my God.
We were just like. This guy's horrible. Like, it was good.
Anyways, 2016 had some shit go horribly wrong. Indians blowing 3-1 lead, I think, chief among them. But there's some good stuff too. And every year we like to give out our awards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We call them the trophies.
Oh, so our awards are all positive?
Yeah.
Oh.
Except for mine.
One of mine's negative.
That's fine.
That's okay.
Fuck them.
Yes.
All right, exactly. Kyle, what's your first trophy that you're going
to
get?
I want to get this out of the way just because I don't want anyone to steal it because no one's going to steal it, but I'm afraid someone might. And that's my favorite or the best movie montage, and that's from Swiss Army Man.
Is it to the song?
To the song Montage, which is such an incredible scene. Probably my favorite scene in that movie.
The soundtrack to that.
The soundtrack
and that song is amazing.
That movie is so weird, and if anyone hasn't seen that movie, I'd recommend not seeing trailers.
Yeah,
which I don't know if that's possible.
I think it's on Amazon.
But it is just a really crazy weird movie, but the montage is just, it takes all of that craziness and just ramps it up to, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's them figuring out what one of them can do and doing it over and over again, and just, it's such a fun and happy scene sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And the song lyrics are literally like popcorn montage. And montage, like that's all the lyrics are. So there's some other lyrics, but when I found out that that's what they're saying in the song during the montage, it's so cool. That movie is, I don't know if I like really liked it when I first finished it, but
I don't really like the ending, but man, I've never seen a movie like that movie.
Yeah. You try to compare it to something and you can't really. It's so weird. But yeah, so my favorite movie montage of the year is from Swiss Army Man.
Nice.
What about you, Themo?
Okay. I'm going to say best comedic performance on television, and I have to go with Alec Baldwin.
Nice.
Just because.
Apologize.
Do you mean apologize? No, I would never do that. this is a comedic performance that it goes up there in my book along with Dana Carvey's Bush Senior HW, because it doesn't exactly sound like him, but he somehow distills the essence of what this man is, and. Not only that, but it just drives him bonkers. And
that's the best part.
That's my favorite part.
How pissed he gets.
Yes. And he keeps watching, as we've talked about. Stop watching.
Just turn it off.
So, that's my number five. Sir?
I would say that I'm going to go with best documentary first. I saw some really good documentaries this past year. The Spock documentary was really good.
The Spock
Beatles
doc.
Documentary was good. Yeah, the Spock doc. That's the best name for it.
Spockumentary.
I think there's one that I'm not going to mention yet, and then there's one that I feel like was just phenomenal. I just saw a couple days ago called The Eagle Huntress. It is directed by Otto Bell, and it's narrated by Daisy Ridley. It's this really cool documentary about a young Mongolian woman who, she's 13 years old. Her family, they're like eagle hunters. So they just basically go up to the mountains in like the extreme cold, like in like the coldest months, with just an eagle and like, that's it, and like a horse. They just hunt foxes with that, and that's how they get like warm clothes.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. So it's like, she doesn't hunt the actual eagles.
She hunts
the eagles to hunt. So she like they're like, you know, falconers.
It's like
they throw them like spears.
Yeah, yeah,
I was gonna say wearing an eagle would not be wise at all.
I haven't seen this. I saw a trailer for it, and it looks gorgeous.
Oh man, it's so great. And it's, if you can see it in theaters, it's really worth it because the way it's shot is shot almost as a narrative film. The production crew must have been astounding on this because it looks just incredible. And I know they shot a lot of footage. There was some criticism about like whether or not they staged stuff. I didn't feel like it was staged at all. I think they just shot a lot of footage and were able to edit it a certain way.
I think that's something that's becoming more of a thing for documentaries now, is just like the pre-planning. And I mean, things like Planet Earth's a documentary in a way, and that's like probably one of the most beautiful things ever filmed ever.
Planet Earth 2. Oh, I am pumped for that. Have you guys seen the scene of the lizard running away
from
the snakes?
I should put that on my list.
Oh my god,
I gotta think of a category now to put that on there.
The most Mad Max like thing to happen in the real world in nature. It's just like a Mad Maxian.
The only time in 2016 when you felt for a lizard.
Yeah, it was intense. What's the other movie that you guys are playing at the Nightlight right now that has the word eagle in the title?
It is... It's Hunter Gatherer is the other one.
Oh, eagle Hunter... Hunters. Oh, that's... Okay.
Hunter Gatherer.
Okay.
Because
I was thinking about messaging or like tweeting at Curtis and being like, bro, you gonna play any fucking movies that don't have the word Hunter in them?
I
decided not to because I didn't know if it would sound as funny as I thought it did.
Probably would have. Yeah, I don't know how well.
I don't know if that would have translated.
I think it's pretty.
You probably
would
have just thought you were really upset. So yeah, well, we could barely get on the marquee with that many H's.
What I like about the conversation we're having is that this is the same conversation that they were having after Nanook of the North.
Yeah, I was gonna say they staged stuff in Nanook of the North. Yeah. People got pissed then, but it's like, I mean. It also created a genre, so
cares. It's a great movie, and see it in theaters. Support your local theater.
Yeah,
Nick, what's your number five?
What is my number five? I'm gonna go with funniest scene of the year, and I was saying I way over prepared. So my top five are: there's a scene in The Lobster where somebody attempts suicide, and it's
sounds hilarious.
It's pretty funny. I was the only one in the theaters laughing, but I was like about to fall out of my chair. Just anytime Ricky Baker dances in Hunt for the Wilder People, there's a scene in Hail Caesar where the one character is trying to say, would that it were so simple, like in a movie. And it's kind of like in Singing in the Rain when
I can't
Lena, I can't stand
I
him.
I can't stand him.
It's like that only
I
a
can't
cowboy.
Stand him.
There's a song in the movie Pop Star about Bin Laden, which is pretty hilarious if you guys don't know what I'm talking about. And that was going to be my number one, but I just can't not put the balloon deflating scene from Pee Wee's Big Holiday.
It's so good.
Because it brought me so much goddamn joy.
Yeah, that scene is incredible.
It's on YouTube. I think if you probably just Pee Wee balloon and it'll come up, and it's just him deflating a balloon.
I mean, it's on Netflix, and I feel like most people...
Yeah. It's a long take of him deflating a balloon.
Yeah, has anyone clocked that? Is it like it's probably like a minute and a half, 2 minutes? It's a very long.
It's a long take, but it's so funny.
The beautiful part is that they show him blowing up the balloon too. Like,
and another thing is, if you look at the background, everyone's just kind of doing their own thing, and then by the time that the balloon's done deflating, there's like a crowd around him. It's like everyone's really getting into it.
I kind of want to read you guys though, since. Until now, the Pee Wee thing was not going to be my number one, but here's some lyrics from
Bin Laden.
The song from Popstar. Finest girl I ever met in my whole life. Wanted to take her home, make her my wife. Knew she was a freak when she started talking. She said, fuck me like me fuck Bin Laden. That girl was a freak. She said she wanted me to fuck her harder than the military fucked Bin Laden.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
Oh my god.
Pop star.
That's who is that? Franco? No, that's
Andy Samberg.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kyle. What's your next trophy?
My next trophy is for best non-playable video game character. So this is a character that you don't actually control, but you play alongside, and that is the character known as just Trico from The Last Guardian. It is basically this giant dog slash bird slash cat creature that you're this little boy, and you're trying to get back to your village, and this giant creature is helping you get there, but you can't actually control it, so you're pointing it and telling it what to do, and it really behaves like a real animal. There's a scene early on when you jump into this lake, and he's really afraid of water, so he's kind of just teetering on the edge of it, looking at it and kind of confused until you throw something that he likes into the water, and he kind of is hesitant and then jumps in after it, and it, like, everything that it does is super natural. And just having a dog in our house and how I am so close with him, and you kind of see similarities with how they act, and you can tell that they did a lot of, like, research with animals and pets and stuff, and the AI alone is just incredible. It can be frustrating because it doesn't always do what you want it to do, but it's almost, like, more realistic that way. The Trico from The Last Guardian, which is a game that has been in development for a very long time, finally came out this year. I don't know what, I think they announced it, like,
I'm 5 or 6. The most frustrating thing about that game is it's PS4 exclusive.
Yeah,
that's what I hate about it.
I've never even.
That's why I think it's the worst game of the year.
Are you an Xbox One?
Yeah, like I was. Come on. I wanted to play it.
You think
I wanted to play Last Guardian? I couldn't even play
it because both
PS4.
This is a beautiful segue to my next.
Awesome.
Yeah, I hope so, because I mean, fucking Last Guardian.
Are we gonna do best console of the year? PS4.
Must be nice, Kyle.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sad that I can't play Halo, but that's okay. I get over it.
Throw on your VR set.
Halo sucks.
Themo, what's your next gaming award?
My number four is going to be, for me, my best escape, and it's going to be Destiny on Xbox One, which, if you're ever interested, let me know. Hit me up and... I'm always looking for some other Guardians.
Yeah, make sure not to. Yeah.
That's so nerdy.
You don't need any Last Guardians around.
I'm just scratching the surface on how nerdy I can get talking about this. Like, I mean, I use bad juju, but I have a shader, so it doesn't look like it. It's actually called the Dragon Slayer. It's ridiculous how into this game I am. Yeah, exactly. But it's an FPS. It has a very Star Wars vibe, but there's no story. The story is horrible. As far as you can do missions out of order, it makes no sense. So,
you played it back when it was Dinklebot, right?
When it was what?
Peter Dinklage is the...
No, I had to look that up, and it was amazing.
Oh, okay. So you were always Nolan North as the little drone
ghost
thing.
Yeah,
ghost thing.
There's, like, these little droids.
Peter Dinklage was the first voice of this character, and he did such a bad job that they redubbed the entire character.
Sounds weird.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I didn't believe it until I'm like, there's no way he was that bad. And then you look it up on YouTube, and I don't know if he was trying to go for, I'm a robot, so I have zero emotion, but it's literally
he sounds bored the entire time.
He sounds so bored, like, I can't believe I'm doing a video game.
Yeah.
Like,
But they released the game with him in it, and people played it, like, I played through the entire game, and then they, like, months later, they just changed it completely.
They patched it with the next update, so I jumped in the second year. This is the third year it's out.
Nice.
And it's just it's just simple.
As far as controls go, it's probably the best controlling. First-person shooter, one of the best.
I haven't played it. I haven't played other FPSs like Call of Duty. PvP in forever. So
yeah,
but I love it.
Yeah, I should check it out because I heard some good things.
My snipe game is ridiculous at this point. It's like, oh, you're jumping towards me. Pew 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 pew
pew pew pew.
I rest my case.
That's the actual sound effects of the game.
Pew pew pew.
Next category is best television show. And this is including best new, best existing, anything.
Does it include Netflix, too?
It does include Netflix, and it is a clear victory for Atlanta for me. I just think that show is so brilliant.
I
want
to see it so badly.
It's completely brilliant. It's
the most brilliant thing that I think that show did. And it's hard to... I was trying to... Because my wife didn't see this episode. I was trying to explain to her how funny it was, and I... failed to do it, but Justin Bieber is sort of in the show, kind of.
And it's so great because you don't the joke is really good. The actual joke of Justin Bieber in this, I don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to. Yeah,
is it on?
It's
FX?
It manages this show, and that joke is a perfect example of how the show manages to be really smart, and it manages to be to have a lot of social commentary on things without even attempting. Without appearing that it's attempting to.
Mm-hmm.
I thought one of the best ones was the trade up episode, and then the episode about the club. It's just brilliant. You know,
I love the club.
I'm gonna I'm going to go with Trump on this and just say the same word as many times as I can in this review. I think the best thing about Atlanta is that it is the perfect example of what like a lot of young black millennials are hoping for, and that it's a show made by black people that doesn't try to like let everyone in on whatever joke they need to be culturally relevant and to be funny. It's like, I think we've always felt like those are two different things. Like, and I think for black people, there's this kind of tension between, do we include a joke that not everybody in the audience will get, yet somebody like me will be like, oh wow, they referenced this rapper, or they had even the joke about the whole episode where his girlfriend is just talking to her kind of more bourgeois Atlanta friends. That culture is so unknown to a lot of white people. Yeah, that made for one of the best episodes. And it was like those kinds of decisions that he made that I thought were just so brave, and it totally, he pulled it off. And I thought like it was cool how he relinquished a lot of control, like creative control. He let other people write. He let it was cool. Very good show. Great performances. And yeah, trade up.
Yeah, he just won Golden Globe for it, actually. And I think it also won Best New Comedy or Best Comedy or whatever the category
is. It kind of is like, I feel like there's a Mad Men vibe to it that's interesting. I think
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's also just very interestingly shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, good show.
Have we talked about him being young Lando and what we think about that?
I think that's new since we've even recorded last, and but it's awesome.
I think it's great. Like, yeah. I think of all the actors, it's probably this one. I think he's got the right,
I think whoever's like style. Manning.
I have always really liked him.
Yeah, people who are manning the new Star Wars stuff, they're just like killing it. As far as, like, I haven't seen Rogue One, but I've heard it's pretty crazy.
And dang it. You think it?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
I haven't seen it.
I saw it.
You didn't like it?
I've heard a couple things, but we can do that off
camera. It's not. It wasn't bad.
It's not really a Star Wars movie, but I'm okay with that.
It's definitely a different direction. It's not. I think the only thing, I don't know, I got mixed feelings about it, and I need to kind of rewatch it, kind of let it simmer. I mean,
yeah,
it definitely doesn't have the same vibe, but then they try to evoke that with certain like throwbacks and cues and stuff that it's just like, hey, just be your own thing, and it's okay. You don't need to, oh, hey, here's a cameo by the, like, you don't need that. Just be you.
Yeah, like, I heard the Vader.
Okay, that was awesome, thing.
I heard it was odd, though. Like, I heard it was cool, yet it was like,
yeah,
it was part of that whole throw cameos at this thing. Because, like,
yeah,
James Earl Jones sounds, you know,
he sounds significantly older than he
Vader
did.
Shouldn't, right?
Huh?
Shouldn't Vader not? I don't know.
No,
he shouldn't sound older, right? Because the voice should be...
The voice should be younger.
Like, it's a robotic voice.
You can also
get
say it was a bad day because of his multiple health conditions, his multiple pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Which he no longer has coverage for.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think he thought that the ACA and Obamacare were two different things.
Have you seen that Facebook post?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and naturally, we know that Anakin Skywalker at this point would have voted for Trump. He's much more conservative now than when he first came onto the scene. yeah.
I almost wish that guy would have come back and like posted something, but the other people were ripped him a new one.
There was no way he was ever going to, though. It looked so embarrassing. It had to be the worst.
Oh,
I didn't see this. Is this real? Is this real?
It's basically
really
some guy talking about how Obamacare is terrible, but he doesn't have Obamacare, though. He has ACA.
Yeah. And then he finds out.
And people are like, you fucking idiot. Like, dude, you're losing your insurance.
And then the other people were like, is he going to come back and post again? Probably not.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't.
I would have killed myself.
Oh.
Nick, what's your...
Where are we going to go next? I'm going to go with...
What?
I'm going to go with best supporting performance. So I've got a couple lists. A male list and a female list.
Oh my gosh. Are you listening...
Which should I do first?
Which one's quicker?
well, neither are quicker. So we'll do supporting male performance. Lucas Hedges in Manchester by the Sea, Alden Ehrenreich from Hail Caesar, Trevante Rhodes from Moonlight. Although technically, like, the New York Times asked some of their film critics to say who they would put for best actor, best supporting actor, best picture, best director, all that. And Manol Dargis, who's a film critic for the New York Times, for her best supporting actor, if she got to choose for the Oscar nominations, it was all five of them were characters from Moonlight, which is like, it's pretty true. Saying that Gervonta Rhodes or Andre Holland or any of them, I'm getting to it, should be considered less than anyone else is hard to justify. I hate admitting it, but making this list for me would be Shia LaBeouf in American Honey, who's awesome in that movie. He's grimy and has a rat tail.
Nice.
But I think by far my favorite supporting performance in anything this year by a male was Mahershala Ali in Moonlight. So good. So good in that movie.
Why did you say that about Shia?
Because I'm not typically a Shia LaBeouf fan.
Yeah, and I don't care how well he did in Five Fingers of Death. He's no rapper. I'll battle you right now, Shia LaBeouf. if you're listening.
You didn't have Daniel Radcliffe.
If you are listening.
I love it when you throw out.
If you're listening, I'll battle you right now.
He'll come up in a different list.
He will?
And then, but yeah, Mahershala Ali, just so good in that movie.
It felt like a culmination of all the other performances that he put in last year. Like, yeah.
They were all great.
They were all great, and they had, some of them had similar, like, there was certain, like, he was in Kicks and a somewhat similar role, yet, and I mean this in a really good way, like, somehow, like, he, like, all the best things from those great roles, like, he just coalesced into this, like, spectacular performance in Moonlight that was so, like, subtle, and he managed to say so much with, like, so little dialogue and say so much with just how he interacted with these other characters and how he responded to them interacting with him. Like,
I think he's a little bit easier to separate from the six characters who play Chiron and Kevin, because those are, it's like three different actors playing the same character, whereas he's just one character, so it's easy to distinguish him from everyone else. But all the acting in that movie is phenomenal. Speaking of Naomi, for my best supporting female performance, Naomi Harris from the same movie, Moonlight, was my number one for a while. She's been supplanted, and we'll get to that in a second. Some other ones, Imogen Poots in Green Room, Kim Min-hee in The Handmaiden, Jenna Malone in Neon Demon, I liked a lot. But my number one, also by far, is Michelle Williams in Manchester by the Sea. There's a scene towards the end of that movie. It's like a pretty small, short speech she gives, and it's just a kick in the gut. It's so good. She's been one of our best actresses for a really long time, and I think this might be my favorite thing that she's ever done. She's amazing in it. So.
Yeah, she's been killing it for the last few years.
Yeah, since she was on The Creek.
Yeah, she was awesome in that too.
Sure.
She's adorable.
Kyle, what's your next tropey?
My next tropey is for best movie opening credit sequence, and goes to a movie that apparently Nick didn't like too much. Deadpool. Nice. With Angel of the Morning playing in the background. I was like trying to think of this opening sequence, and I remember that I really loved it a lot, and that it was this sort of swoop through freeze frame of this really intense action sequence, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember it being really funny. And then I rewatched it because it's on HBO on demand right now, and I forgot that they do the whole breaking the fourth wall
magazines.
The producer says it's directed by an overpaid tool and produced by asshats, and it's starring a hot chick and a moody teen, and I don't know. I just thought it was
egregious cameo.
Yeah, and I just thought it was really goofy, and they showed a lot of little Easter egg stuff just in the freeze frame. There's a picture of the Green Lantern in it and stuff, and other little nods. But I just remember it being really funny and really well done, and it's a perfect opening for a movie like that. Like, it's like no other superhero movie, I feel like, and it was, I didn't love the movie as much as most people did, but definitely the opening sequence was worth talking about to me, at least.
I feel like my experience of that movie was really good because of how I saw it. I saw it at the Alamo, so it was like,
yeah,
I think it was more me being there than it was the actual movie. However, I liked it.
Yeah, I did like it. It was cool, and it was funny, but I think it started off really strong and kind of teetered off at the end a little bit, but the opening sequence I thought was pretty incredible.
I'm excited to see what they do with the sequel. The when they do those kinds of like origin movies, it's always slow to me, especially what they did, which they always do, is like, you know, it eats up so much time to show the origin story, and it's rarely like exciting.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
This one just had like a really weak villain.
That's
I think
true.
Deadpool
yeah,
is the weakest villain.
I think that's
villain,
what bothered me about it is that it didn't the actual story to it was like so lame.
And the people that he was with too, like the Hurricane Girl, what was her name? Like Super
I actually
Sonic,
really
Super
liked
Sonic.
Those two. I thought
they were cool, but I didn't know what the point of them was as far as like
I think that was the coolest thing about
her.
That.
I didn't like the
Colossus?
I loved Colossus. I think it was cool how that was to me the coolest thing about the use of other mutants or characters was how they brought in two X-Men, and it was like said in the movie that these were like the low rent X-Men
it's
that they
weird
got. Even though Colossus, how's he the low rent X-Men? He's like one of the best
ones.
He's like a powerhouse. So.
And that's the cool thing to me is that it was like the Colossus. No offense to the guy who's played him in the other movies, but that's what from the cartoon.
That was
that's
real Colossus.
Exactly.
And he looked great.
It sounded great. Yeah.
I mean, half their budget went into Colossus because he looked incredible.
I would say, and I'm going to differ about, I really like the story because usually in superhero story, it's either like ultimate villain or ultimate world-destroying machine, you know, and it was cool to see, this guy, again, he's not a hero. He's out for fix my face and then I'll kill you.
Yeah, and it's like, the love story thing. People lift it up a lot. I just, I don't know. I'm with Nick.
That's fair. We can agree to that.
I just think
it's going to be my campaign slogan in 2024.
I'm with Nick.
That's kind of what the other slogan was this past year, to be honest.
Right.
I'm with her.
Femo.
Yeah.
You're number three? Are we only on three?
Mm-hmm.
We're only on
Holy
three.
Broly.
We usually chop this up into a two-piecer.
Well, also, we didn't really have much of an introduction. We just went straight into it.
I feel like, it's going to be just one. The way it's going.
We'll see. We'll see.
Depends on how long Nick's list go.
Yeah. I mean,
this list
is really warming up.
Is tied with three further lists. No.
Yes.
No.
My list for my favorite lists are...
in the categories in those lists are...
I was going to say best... binge watch, and then I was gonna say best ensemble cast, and it was gonna be like ties between Stranger Things, Westworld, and Game of Thrones. I just couldn't decide, so I went with my favorite minor like cameo in all of those, and this was Michael Wincott as Old Bill the bartender in Westworld, whom I freaking love. Michael Wincott, for those of you who remember, is like the main baddie in The Crow. And he comes back as yes, and he comes back and he's
just regular. Yeah, it just hit me that who that is.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, he looks kind of familiar, but he does this amazing like robot.
Robot performances in that show.
He does such a good like he feels creaky.
When he shuts down, he's just like
wow.
But then on top of that, like when you're watching the performance, because I rewatched some of his clips and. There is like a level there that you're questioning whether or not there's more going on a deeper level. And I think that's left up to us, but just loved that performance. I guess you could say that's tied though with the Yul Brynner cameo in Westworld. He's out of focus in the background in that basement area where,
oh really?
Yeah. Just for one shot. And as soon as he came on the screen, I was like, oh, there he is. I knew that they were going to do it.
We just watched that movie like last week. I'd never seen it before. It was entertaining. It's a little cheeseball. It's way more like it's way more like the Terminator than it is like the TV show Westworld.
Yeah, for sure. It is
inspired.
Basically the Terminator is it's directly ripped from that.
Does it end
inspired
as crazy
by,
as the show does?
Nah, maybe it doesn't.
It's
who's to say?
It also it's the allegedly I had heard. I don't know if this is true, but. It's what coined the term computer virus.
What?
Interesting.
There's a malfunction. Not spoilers.
Michael Crichton?
Michael Crichton directed and wrote this. And
Michael Crichton would have voted for Trump.
No.
He would have.
He
would have.
His whole book, State of Fear, is about how global warming isn't real.
He went pretty right towards the end.
No.
In his defense, he did. No, I'm not so going to say that. Did you know what I was going to say?
No, I don't, but...
There's no defense.
Moving on. You're number three, sir.
This is a perfect segue, actually. I'm going to go with Best Dictator for my next category.
The movie The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Even though Seth Rogen mentioning it on Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart's show is pretty funny. They ask him about South Korean food, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really allowed anywhere near that area anymore. So, we had a lot of really good ones to choose from this year. You know, we had Bashar in Syria. This guy is... I like what he's doing because he's getting the world really excited about his dictatorship. He's getting them kind of rallied around him and like... we've got half of our government likes him, the other half, this new half doesn't, or do, nobody knows. So there's a lot of excitement there. There's a lot of cool stuff happening in Africa right now. A lot of those dictators have kind of taken some time off dictating, and we're really building some democratic structures. And in the Gambia, Yahya Jammeh. Dude, Jammeh, step down. You know, we're already seeing this kind of shit in America. We don't need you doing it. Same with Kabila in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Yet my best, most favorite dictator, his actions, his words, has been...
Going to Asia.
Dirty Duterte himself.
Yes.
President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines.
This guy is
doing the most work. He's put in more work than Ice Cube in the 90s. Like, this dude is on a campaign to kill every drug dealer addict in his country. And I think, what is he already at, like...
I don't know the
3,005. I mean,
the most recent quote from him yesterday was, "He's going to command all people to kill any drug dealers, and if civilians get mixed up and caught in the shuffle, collateral damage has got to be done."
They've already been killing civilians. Like they've been killing buyers too, and just presenting them as if they're dealers.
He means even like this guy was like. Go into the grocery store and you got shot. Gotcha. It's like,
whatever. It's worth it. I mean, his quotes about how he'd love to be the Hitler of Asia and kill 3 million addicts if he can. And of course, his really smug and happy self-congratulatory tweet about how President-elect Trump called him and is really happy with his drug war.
Of course he is.
Of course. So I think, we've got some really nice... As dictators that are coming up next year, however,
see if he was an, if
this
he was,
year it goes to Duterte, Dirty Duterte himself, if the man who dared to try to take on Obama as he was on his way out.
If he was in America, at least we would have solace of knowing that, like 6 months down the line, we would find out that he has a cocaine problem.
Right, right. Whereas I think he seems pretty straight edge. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who is telling his officers, "Hey, I've done it before. When I was mayor, I killed plenty of drug addicts. Just go out. I would drive around the city on a motorcycle and just go put in work." This kid is on fire. So that is that's the state of the dictator scene in 2016. Nice. I think we're looking forward to a really good one coming up.
We've got.
Even the Chinese are getting a little, starting to flex their muscles a little bit in some different areas. So I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
It's interesting when
America,
when North Korea doesn't, right. North Korea is not even making the list.
Yeah. Kim Jong Un was kind of,
it's like
kinda quiet. I think he tried
giving
to like,
it to North Korea would be like giving Meryl Streep a fourth fucking Oscar.
She's highly overrated.
Overrated. Meryl Streep.
Did you hear Mark Hamill? As the Joker.
Yeah, it's so good.
Who's highly overrated. Like, it's so good.
So, Dick, what's your number two category?
My number three category, sir.
I thought you were number...
No. We're going to do best lead performances. I'll do the ladies first this time. Agnes Dean from Sunset Song, Amy Adams in Arrival, Kate Beckinsale in Love and Friendship, Gillian Jacobs in Don't Think Twice, but my number one is Krisha Fairchild in a movie called Krisha. I think she's technically a professional actress, but she's not a famous actress. This is a pretty small movie by a new first-time filmmaker that's on Amazon Prime right now, and it's just a great movie. It's kind of on the level of Jenna Rollins in A Woman Under the Influence type, like, crazy.
Amazon's really stepping up their game in the past couple months, their movie game. Did they acquire something? So, like, what happened?
I think,
like,
they must have a deal with A24 where they're streaming all the A24 movies, because I think, like, most of the major A24 movies from last year have made it on there. So Creesh is on there, Swiss Army Man's on there, Green Room's on there. Lots of good stuff on Amazon. But this movie is terrific, and this woman, like, you would not believe that in real life she, as far as I know, does not have mental health or addiction problems. She's just phenomenal in this movie. My favorite lead male performance is one I just have written down, Sing Street. I didn't even look up the kid's name, but the kid from Sing Street, so good.
Johnny Sing Street.
Yes, John Sing Street. Perfect name for that movie. What I have written down here is John Goldman, but I'm pretty sure I meant to write John Goodman for 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Was that this year?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Really, really, and he's creepy in it. Colin Farrell in The Lobster. Which,
boo.
Oh, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
He's a charming man.
No.
I consider it a lead performance or a co-lead performance, Daniel Radcliffe in Swiss Army Man. But my number one, sir, you used your boo far too early. Because my best male performance lead role of the year goes to your buddy. The sex assaulter himself, Casey Affleck from Manchester by the Sea. His crimes and misdoings notwithstanding.
And you know, he's an ongoing offender. That's the issue with me. Because, and I'm going to draw some criticism for my next category, because one of my picks is another controversial director and actor. However, I think one difference in that person's stuff is from way back then. And Casey's right now still a danger, still a risk, making women feel unsafe, making women feel unsafe on Hollywood sets everywhere. Yeah. In 2017, I don't care who you are. I'm going to be as mean about it as I can.
That's the new sir.
The new sir. Just,
somehow telling it how it is. I don't know.
See, he can be a shitty guy. I don't care. Mean, I'm still going to watch his movies if they look like they're good.
I feel like 2016,
good.
I was known as the kind of mean, like, asshole. Like,
Kyle and Hard.
It's a new year.
Yeah. Now,
with the birth of your daughter,
fatherhood's,
it's like,
yeah, fatherhood's
now,
changed,
now
Kyle.
I'm a nice guy.
Trumphood has changed, sir.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have him, like, I'm not going to...
You're not gonna have
I'm not gonna, yeah, no. I'm not gonna have him take my wife to dinner like I'm Marcellus fucking Wallace. But
give him a nice foot rub.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll see a movie he's in, and man, he's quite good in this movie. Yeah. It's we'll talk more about this movie.
Just realized I kept picturing Colin Hanks. Oh, I love Colin Hanks. Did you see that Dexter season?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, he's creepy. Anyway.
David S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins. Any question?
That was maybe the best thing that happened all year, was David S. Pumpkins. Kyle, what's your next trophy?
My next trophy is for most overrated video game of 2016, and I have to give it to Doom. Mostly because everyone was giving it like, oh, it's the greatest action game of the year. It's so incredible.
Hold on. I don't play video games. Did you say Doom?
Doom,
like, 1996.
What year is this episode coming out in? Did I hit my head?
They re-released Doom, and the only thing that's good about it is the graphics.
Now they're 32-bit.
Didn't the BFG also come out this year?
Yeah.
Oh, you think? Coincidence? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's right. A little inside. A little inside.
But yeah, on my other podcast, On the Rocks, Dave and Nathan, they just like love the crap out of that game. And I just thought it was fine. I thought it was kind of boring. It looked really good. The music was rocking, and you do a lot of violent things in that game. You kill aliens with chainsaws. But as far as like a game, and it just was repetitive and not the greatest thing ever. People are putting it in like game of the year categories, and I'm like, why and how, and it's weird.
I think since I've bought a total of like 6 or 7 games in the past few years, now I feel like I'm like really gaming a lot. So
did you play Doom at all or no?
I actually downloaded the demo.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna come out with a strong endorsement of Kyle's opinion here. Nice. I think it's heavily overrated. Yes.
Yeah, it looks good, but it's just I don't know. There's not much beyond that. I will say, as a
fan of the original, it sucks.
I was very underwhelmed.
I mean, compared to like the hype and like feeling like, okay, I'm going to play this game and it's going to be like that original feeling you had playing Doom.
What people are losing their minds over is that there's this secret area where you can find an original Doom level, and it's in the old graphic engine. Which is crazy.
That's a cool
Easter egg, but that's not going to make people be like, oh,
and you just proved how much more
ever.
Of a gamer you are than anybody else in this room by thinking that's a cool Easter egg.
Yeah.
The idea of me like playing a badass like modern game and then being transported back to the original game. Yeah.
Here's the shitty version of this game.
Yeah. A cool thing would be like it's the same map, but with
updated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be cool.
I mean, I think we're in the same boat.
Same ballpark.